whose time and effort is probably spent in giving advice for family issues, isn't it?
Not me.
Anyway, maybe I don't want to be so bold and put some percentage on it, but I've heard gurus complaining and saying so much time and effort I spend just advising my disciples in family issues. And we could just imagine if we would really manage to, you know, recognize this important contribution of the Vanaprasthas, then that would really free the sannyasis immensely. Then they could actually really use their time and energy to just preach about the holy name and preaching and so many things, rather than being, you know, overburdened with so many family issues, which really the Vanaprasthas could solve. So now we will have Solomon and Shivam Swami Maharaj giving us some insights into the Vanaprastha Ashram.
Kaisi Krishna Chaitanya Pavitranda Sri Rudraha Sri Ashari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. As all of you well know, that Vanaprastha Ashram is one of the four what Srila Prabhupada calls spiritual orders. They're supposed to be four varnas, which is he calls the social orders. And together, these eight divisions form the social structure that was known as Varnashrama, which I guess you can use the terminology of it being a spiritual culture, although it's actually a material arrangement, spiritually inspired, perfect arrangement in order to elevate people from the lower modes of material nature to the mode of goodness and keep them in the mode of goodness, so that they can, in that way, come to the level of transcendence and become Krishna conscious. In fact, the purpose of Varnashrama, at least for Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada uses the terminology Daivi Varnashram, which is a specific form of Varnashram for those people who are Vaishnavas who already understand what the goal of Varnashrama is. When Narada Muni is speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam about the Varnashram Social Institution, he speaks in response to Yudhisthira Maharaj's question about how to establish a spiritual organization, or how to establish a society by which human beings can understand the perfection of human form of life, which is to take up devotional service. So, in general, for the masses of people around the world, Srila Prabhupada envisaged that our Krishna Consciousness Movement would offer to them a perfect social institution which is meant to elevate them, which other social structures don't do. All other social structures that we see in this world, whatever they may be called, or they may be democracy, or so many other political institutions, ultimately are materialistic, and they don't give people an insight into what the purpose of the human form of life is. And of course, the human form of life is meant for self-realization, Self-realization means to understand that we're eternal servants of Krishna. And when people understand that, then they've taken the first real step, or Yudhisthira Maharaj's terms, they've achieved the perfection of human form of life, as they understand that now I should serve Krishna. Adani Vaishnava is one step further, and that is Vaishnavas, who already know what the perfection of life is. They already identify themselves neither as Brahmanas, neither as Vaishyas, neither as Sannyasis, Nahambiku, Nacharapati, Nativaisho, Nashudro, none of these things. But they know that Gopi Bhakti Padakamayor Dasa Dasa Nidas, Dharani Dasa Nisuruka Krishna. And for them, that social structure is meant to give the best basis by which they can actually practice Krishna consciousness. And of course, society or social structure means that according to your spiritual order or your social order, there are certain characteristic duties. For instance, Lord Krishna, who in the 11th canto talks about Varnashram, he talks about the duties of the renounced order as being practicing equanimity and nonviolence. For Vanaprastas, he says the philosophical search for truth and being able to distinguish between, or cultivating the distinction between the body and the soul. The main duty of the Grihasthas is to give shelter to other living entities, and of Brahmacharis to dedicate himself to the service of the spiritual master. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasudanto Guru Hitam. Guru Hitam. To give yourself to the service of spiritual master. And how these things are done is very intricately described, but interestingly, it's done in different ways according to different times. When we read Narada Muni's description of Vanaprastha, I mean, I don't know how many Grihasthas are going to enter into that, but better forget about the sannyasis living like that, matted hair, living in the forest, letting your hair grow, your fingernails grow, you can't brush your teeth, you can't bathe, practicing austerity. So, but this essential issue, the distinction between the body and the soul, the philosophical search after the absolute truth, there's always the principles and the details. So in the Vanaprastha Ashram, there is the principle, which means what happens after Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram, where one is giving shelter primarily to one's own family members, and then of course to all other living entities, even animals. But that giving shelter takes time, energy, and there's only so much time and so much energy. And when you count it all up, the 24 hours of the day, then it means that doing these things, and of course doing these things also means you have to have some form of livelihood by which to do these things. One no longer lives in the same way that, for instance, a Brahmachari lived. That same Grihastha who had gone through the Brahmachari ashram, in the Brahmachari ashram there was compulsory attend the morning program. In the earlier Krishna conscious movement, there was what was called the ISKCON sandwich, where the evening program was also compulsory. And in between, you do Harinam, and you, or you preach, or you distribute books, or engage in other full-time service. That is more difficult to attain, to have the time to do all of those things. In the Grihastha ashram, it's not there. At least, as Devaki said, my experience with vihasas is they really struggle just to even read Srila Prabhupada's books, to be able to nicely complete rounds. By nicely, I mean to be able to just sit down as one would, for instance, between 5 and 7 a.m. and chant the Hare Krishna mantra without disturbance. It's not something that, especially for those devotees who have to make a livelihood outside, that can be easily done. Because generally, they may already be in a car by 6:30 in the morning in order to get to their place of employment, which means that they already have to have breakfast, and kids have to be taken to school, and so many other aspects of giving shelter to other living entities. But there comes a certain phase in life, and Srila Prabhupada would usually divide 25%, 25%, 25%, and being very generous that people are going to live 100 years in this life, which is not happening every day. My mother reached 98. My aunt is just about to have her 100th birthday, but it's pretty rare, especially for men. So generally men have a 10-year shorter lifespan than ladies do. And so still, but when you make that division, that one quarter is the Brahmachari ashram, and then the Grihastha ashram, and Pancha Udvambalam Bhajar. All right, 50 years old. Whether devotees can organize their life, and I'd like to come back and talk about that briefly, whether they can organize their life in order to actually retire at age 50, that does require both contemplation and very serious planning. But ultimately, that there is a stage where one shifts from giving shelter to others by taking responsibility for the lives and the provision of others, to once again actually focus in the last phase of life or last phases of life on full-time service to Krishna. Who am I? What am I doing in this material world? Of course, we're devotees, so Vaishnavas already know that. But in a deeper sense, what does it mean that I'm a servant of Krishna? And how do I go deeply into the aspects of Krishna consciousness? Studying of Shastra, not just trying to read for 15, 20 minutes a day, but actually going very deeply, analytically studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so on. And having that opportunity to render service, more service, full-time service. So we see that when Srila Prabhupada talked about Vanaprastha, he talked about traveling to holy places, just like Vidura did. At a certain point, Vidura had had enough of all of the insults heaped upon him by Duryodhana, and he just left his bow, which symbolically really means that he just changed his duties. He just gave up his duties as a grihastha and he left. There's no particular mention of his going with his wife, who was also a Vaishnavi. And Krishna says a vanaprastha may go to the forest alone, or he may go with his wife. There are so many examples in the Bhagavatam, especially with kings, with Kshatriyas, who go along with their wives into the forest. And of course, other yogis, for instance, Sobari Rishi, who with his 50 wives also entered into the Vanaprastha ashram. So the essence remains the same. The essence is once again turning and concentrating one's full-time energy in for devotional service. But in order to do that, the interesting aspect of these ashramas, varnashramas, is, and the whole reason why we have this educational system, is to be able to prepare for these things. Just like our Grihastha ashram. It's not exactly the most successful of institutions. In fact, you may say that none of our spiritual institutions are necessarily really successful. We have a high divorce rate. There are other societies, just even outside in the secular world, that have better performance than we do. Our sannyasa ashram is improving, but it wasn't also very good. Vanaprastha is sort of a new field that devotees are entering in. And brahmacharya ashram, perhaps brahmacharya ashram is the one where we have a relatively good performance, although it may be questionable by what measure you say a relatively good performance, but we certainly have good training. Everyone knows what training is required. And Srila Prabhupada would emphasize in terms of the Varnashram institution that it's education, the Varnashram college. Why? To educate people in their varnas and ultimately to be able to be educated in their ashramas. That our society has become more seriously involved in recognizing that, for instance, in Grihastha ashram is not just simply a marriage, not just simply an issue of marriage, but it's a matter of preparing both potential spouses for the commitment that that entails, for the duty that entails, especially when the romance is over, if there's any romance involved, generally for Westerners, well, not just Westerners, everyone, that becomes sort of a prerequisite. There has to be a certain element of love. But over and beyond that, when that goes down, when that romance fades, then duty is what keeps a Grihastha ashram together. Duty is what is the motive that drives also the brahmachari, the vanaprastha, and ultimately it becomes one of the basic principles that Lord Krishna emphasizes in Bhagavad Gita. You don't want to fight, you don't want to kill your relatives, you don't want to be a source of placing women into a difficult situation where they don't have husbands. Fine and good, but do your duty anyway, because that's your duty. So duty is really the basis of at least our culture, our spiritual culture, a basis of our spiritual culture, where we do the right thing, because the right thing gives the right result, whether you like it, you don't like it, whether it feels good or it doesn't feel good. But dharma rakshati rakshitaha. When you do the right thing, ultimately you get the right result. So this concept of both education and planning, and then I'll just turn to that and turn under the terms of the vanaprastha ashram, excuse me. I had a conversation some years back with a devotee, and we were talking about his family situation, just overall, older devotee, he's got grown-up children, three children, well-situated, works for a communication company, highly posted, he's sort of in his mid-50s, has property, has no debts. And I was asking him, why are you working? He said, what else am I supposed to do? I said, well, you've got everything that you need. Would you have any problem if you stop working? Do you have any problem for maintaining your livelihood? He said, no, not at all. He said, and then I said, well, you know, you're 55, five children, one number two. You could actually be doing this, and you're a highly trained, a highly qualified professional, and you could be contributing so much if you were engaged full-time in service to the temple. This is in Budapest, we're talking. And, or you could just be doing part-time service, and you could be chanting 32 rounds a day, and reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and attending the morning program. None of these things would you say you have time for. And so he had a little bit of a panic attack at that stage. And he said, well, what will T-Mobile do without me? If you know T-Mobile, it's one of the biggest companies in the world. I said, believe me, T-Mobile does not depend upon you. But who cares? You don't need it. You don't need to work. And so he didn't. He's still contemplating our discussion. And it was sort of quite a shock to him. And he hadn't thought about that. And of course, he joined late in life in Krishna consciousness. He just joined a few years earlier. But I'm giving this example just to emphasize the point that you start something when you know what the goal is. So one enters into the Grihastha ashram when one knows, but what's the... Where do I go from this Grihastha ashram? And I know that, yes, I meant to aim in this Grihastha ashram to, at a certain point, to be able to enter into the Vanaprastha ashram, which requires, obviously, a psychological preparation, spiritual preparation, and certainly, for instance, in the example of those devotees who, say, for instance, aren't engaged full-time in service of the institution, which most part of our grihasthas aren't nowadays, it requires a real practical preparation. Because I think most people have that experience that if you're meant to just simply live off of your pension, well, first of all, you can't retire at age 50. You gotta retire at age 65. In certain countries like UK, they're pushing it up to 67. It's going to go up to 70. For instance, it's our same thing in Hungary. It's up to 65 years old. It's very interesting that the age at which, the average age at which males pass away in Hungary is 62 years old, but the retirement age is 67. So I don't quite know how that works out. Very convenient for the government and for the insurance companies. But even if you make it to that stage, of course, you're already 65, 67. Those of us who are at that stage know that full-time devotional service at this stage is something that you're trying to decrease, not get into. The idea of studying Shastra and so on, that sounds pretty attractive, provided that you got eyesight to be able to read that long. And so what's left is chanting, japa, and traveling. Traveling is nice until you start doing it. And once you're used to traveling, and then you can ask Niranjan Maharaj, who used to travel to 90 temples a year. And if you're used to traveling, then rather stay in one place. So, but some type of planning certainly requires to be there. And in order to make that type of successful economic basis, what is required is a plan. And the plan is, how is it that I can somehow or another retire at an earlier age, at an age where I still have vitality, energy, where I can, if I want to travel, where I can study, where I can do service. And that will either mean that one is very capable in terms of generating income, or if not, it means I begin the Grihastha ashram with a different lifestyle. Because we're used to, or at least we're living in a consumer society where people are taught to achieve, to live, fulfill all of their material desires and their needs, that everyone should have a suitably big house. And anyway, you know, all the paraphernalia that's being advertised and that we're brainwashed to try to achieve. But if one does not have the karma in order to be able to accumulate, as in the case of this gentleman, in order to be able to accumulate real resources over and beyond your pension that you're going to get from your company you work for, then then one needs to think, well, perhaps at the beginning I need to be able to readjust my life, and I don't live according to what I want, but I live according to my means. I try to live in such a way that somehow or another I'm able to facilitate that. Okay, better, easier said than done. But still, planning needs to be there. And a plan that is an economic plan, and then this other one that, yes, at a certain point, I do need to start working. Why should I work? Ultimately, work is, I remember being with Srila Prabhupada in Dallas in 1976, when he was on a morning walk and Prabhupada was explaining how work is the punishment for being in this material world, or for having come into this material world. So if one can get out of that cycle and really give shelter to others, share one's wisdom, what one has actually assimilated in this life, and certainly Vaishnavas have assimilated a lot. Those who've come from Brahmacharya Ashram to Grihastha Ashram and finally are in their 50s and 60s, they do have a lot to give. But they need the time to give that, and a place to give that. And they need to be able to not only give their wisdom, but ultimately show the example of that at the end of your life, at least at the end of your life, one becomes a very serious sadhaka, a very serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness. Because our Krishna consciousness movement, over and above the construction of temples and so many different projects and other things that we show, is meant to show the example of pure Vaishnavas, that this is what the Krishna consciousness movement is about. And so, for the most part, this will be the last phase of life for most devotees. Some may enter into the sannyas order, but we see statistically that it's a small percentage of Vaishnavas. And for Vaishnavis, then vanaprastha. But in that vanaprastha, Shyam should show that, yes, after a life of Krishna consciousness, this is the result. Pure devotees. Devotees who have no more material desires, who are fully situated in their spiritual identity, who are tasting the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna, and who have awakened their love for Krishna and can share that Krishna consciousness with others. It requires also time and concentration, but ultimately, that's what the matted locked vanaprastha did in the forest. Simply dedicated themselves to spiritual practice with the idea of going back home, back to Godhead. So, grihi bhavane te take, whether you're in the forest, whether you're in the temple, it doesn't matter. But the principle needs to be the same. Full dedication, and to do that, it is really full-time work. I'm trying to do that. Sannyas is supposed to be beyond the vanaprastha ashram, one stage up, in terms of time and energy to focus. We're also trying to be able to spare time and get time from other managerial responsibilities, because in that sense we're also working, although it's perhaps a different type of work. But nonetheless, it's all of our duty to be able to present that ultimately the Krishna conscious culture, that the Varnashram system is meant to produce pure Vaishnavas. And this is what the Krishna consciousness movement presents, it puts forward. It's not something that we simply talk about, how good Krishna consciousness is, but that actually our devotees, and especially our elder, learned, sage Vaishnavas, are living examples of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nimona.